God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Please be seated.
There were two women that had a formative role in my upbringing. One of them was my mother Maisie, and the other was her sister Edna, both now of blessed memory. These two women were the youngest two of a family of seven, five older brothers and two young girls. Both Maisie and Edna couldn't have been more different to each other, both physically and in their outlook on life. My mother was very tall, followed after her grandfather, who was 6'8". But Edna was like my grandmother, who was only 5 foot tall, a mismatched couple, if there ever was one. My mother was a laid-back person, very gentle. Well, that's how I experienced her anyway. But in the recounting of the stories of her life, she was a character. She sort of seemed to be a carefree spirit. Being the youngest, she wanted to hang out with her brothers. And she would go to the river in the summer days, and she would go to the beach, and when she grew up, she would go to dances and smoke and drink and seemed to have a very exciting life. And these were the 30s and the 40s, so it was a difficult time. But this is what she recounted most favourably. Her sister Edna, as the oldest girl, though, was sort of took on the more formal role of oldest daughters in those days, where she stayed at home and was a help to her mother, caring for the family. And this trait in her followed her all the way through to her adult life, to the point of her death. She was a driven woman. Though she practiced hospitality, whenever we went over to her place, there was always an abundance of food. But seemingly, she always spent that time in the kitchen. It was either preparing afternoon tea, or it was making the dinner for that night, or it was cleaning up. She was always on the go, never able to really sit and converse with the rest of us. Mary and Martha were very much like my mother and her sister. Martha, as we hear in the gospel story this morning, was a very welcoming person. She called Jesus in and invited him and his disciples to come and stay with her. She was very hospitable, caring, obviously, and a role model for all of the women of her day. And Mary seemed to be the opposite. Hospitable as well, because even though she was not helping Martha in the kitchen or preparing the food, she was being a presence to Jesus and sitting at his feet. She was courageous, because in those days women did not sit at the rabbi's feet. Women were always in the background, working away. It was the men and the young men, the boys, that sat at the feet of the teacher. This story seems to be a very simple story, and Martha has often been maligned for her role in working in the background and trying to provide the hospitality to Jesus and the disciples that was necessary in those days. Historically, many theologians have tried to reconcile this story. And back in the 3rd and 4th century, one of the early patristic fathers, Origen, was the first that sort of made the distinction between Mary's sense of action, Martha's sense of action, sorry, and Mary's more contemplative position. He raised the nature of contemplation to be the higher virtue. Through all of those patristic years and up until the Middle Ages, the monastics were seen to be the more virtuous, more spiritually mature people of their day. And so Martha was lowered and Mary was raised for her role as a more spiritually contemplative person. In the 13th century, a theologian from the Rhineland, Meister Eckhart, said that Martha was really more highly evolved than Mary, that she didn't need to sit at the feet of Jesus. She recognized who Jesus was, and as in the Gospel according to John, she names Jesus as the Son of God. So he said that Mary was really more evolved and she didn't need to sit there. She could go off and practice the hospitality that was so important to her. But Mary was younger and needed to learn more, and so it was important for her to sit at the feet of Jesus. When the Reformation came, one of the things that the reformers really frowned upon was the monastics. And so in Martin Luther, and John Calvin, some of the two predominant reformists, sort of tried to overturn the nature of contemplative life. And they saw Martha as being more like Jesus, serving people, being more action-orientated, more in line with the temporal nature that God was through Jesus. In the 20th century, feminist theologians started to look more deeply at these gospel stories and go back to the original Greek languages to see really what was meant by the words that the ancient Greeks used. One of the more famous theologians, a Catholic theologian, Elizabeth Fiorenza, really saw that these two, Mary and Martha, were not two types of people. Essentially, they were doing just two different tasks. She saw Martha as being more like a deacon, called to service, where Mary was engaged in listening to the Word of God. Both were important. Both are engaged in ministry. For ministry is two sides of this one coin. Martha was engaged in hospitality, but Mary was engaged in the presence, in being present to Jesus. Our gospel writer this morning, Luke, emphasizes that discipleship is characterized by both service as well as listening to the Word of God. Each response is dependent on the other. We can't have one without the other. When we read this passage, though, it's often our nature to pick one or the other. We see ourselves as either a Martha or a Mary. And we may sort of intuitively pick up on some of these old teachings that we might have heard, that Mary was indeed more virtuous than Martha. But really, we need to think in terms of how we as Christians take their both of what they did as being part of the model for our own Christian life. If we are just doers, busying ourselves with all sorts of things, distracted, not really focused on just being present to someone, then that is not really purposeful. If we are just listeners to the word, if we are just contemplatives, and we aren't actually doing service to each other and to the community, then we would feel somewhat incomplete. For it is both the action of Martha and the contemplative listening of Jesus, of Mary, that really we need to come together in our lives and to practice. We need to find the balance for both. We know from our scripture readings, and especially from Elijah, that God speaks to us in the stillness of life. He doesn't speak to us in our busyness. As Elijah said, he doesn't speak to us in the fire and the thunder and the lightning, the earthquakes. God speaks to us in the silence and the stillness. So as we try and find a path through life, we have to do both. We need to find that stillness, but we also need to be engaged with others. We need to be engaged in service of others. And that is why, in our church setting, outreach is such an important part of what we do. Outreach to those in need. But what forms us as we go out to do the work of God in the world is listening to God and being formed by the words of Scripture and by our contemplative lives together in worshiping. So this day, as we sit together in quiet contemplation, listening to the Word of God, help each other to find that balance in life, to not be so busy, but to find the stillness in the busyness. And through that, we will hear the word of God, and we will live out the word of God in service to our community. Amen.